Got it.
All right. Hello, everybody. Another episode of The Generalist. I'm Jack, The Generalist, your host, and this is Tuppy, or Tup. How's it going today?
It's going good. It's surprisingly a very active day.
What have you been doing?
There's a meeting for work, and then I had a semi-meeting with one of my friends.
Uh-huh.
Because, I'm not naming anything, but he's planning on, like, starting a game. His own, like, team and a game project. So he was asking for, like, advice from me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I won't say that I'm, like, the best example, but, no, I could maybe give a couple of points here and there.
Can you tell us a little bit about things that people don't know about you? They know that you're a visual effect artist, but what else do they not know about you?
I think it's the programming part that most people don't know about. Although I do mention it in my descriptions for YouTube, Blue Sky, and Twitter.
Mm.
And yeah, I don't get much avenue to talk about anything VFX. And I think just focusing on VFX. But it's also nice to be able to talk about the other aspects of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually planning once. I mean, dreaming big. Like, once I get a big audience, that some of them might be interested, like in a Q&A that isn't necessarily just focused on VFX.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's like a future plan.
Yeah, definitely. But what is the background in programming? Can you explain that a little bit?
Oh. Yes, because my degree isn't necessarily, it's not art.
Mm.
So I graduated with a degree in computer science. So I was a programmer first when I graduated. But I started doing game dev around the second year of college.
Uh-huh. And
sorry.
Then...
And then, because every time I'd make or prototype my own game, it, you know, because you have your programmer art, is what it's usually called. Your character is a capsule.
Yes.
With maybe some shades, like a block to indicate the forward. And
yeah,
sometimes it gets, I don't know if tiring is the right word, but just looking at those assets while you're making a game gets really, yeah, I guess tiring and boring. So I tried to dabble in visuals when I want to take a break.
Yeah.
And then around last year, I had like, that it was the biggest break from programming that I've ever wanted in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the switch to visual effects because I really like visual effects, I think, ever since.
How long ago been there?
I started visual effects around I want to say February to March last year. So I've been a visual effects artist for more than a year and a half, I'd say.
Wow. And you are already that good. That is really cool. That's really cool.
Well, I don't know.
You are amazing, yeah. Dude. Like, you wanna your avatar visual effect that actually it's showing right now. It's, in my opinion, one of the best out there. I've never actually seen such hard edges on the effect, like the fire that you made, the flow of the fire, and how clear the edges are of that effect. I think is very special, in my opinion. Because, you know, a lot of artists actually do a lot of, like, opaque effects, I feel. A lot of add or multiply or... But what you do is a bit more pixel-only. It's more clear. The edges are very clear. Maybe there is some gloom, but everything is very cel-shaded. Is that a word here to use? Very anime?
I'd say... Because In the description, I mentioned that I like stylized VFX.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the realm of stylized. Like, yeah, very clear shapes.
Yes.
And yeah, I'd say that's the most distinct part, very clear shapes. Because when I look at visual effects from, say, Elden Ring, I mean, it's cool, of course. But the shapes usually aren't like that clear. There's a lot of smoke, a lot of particles going around, etc. And I just really liked I don't know, I just really like the stylized part of visual effects.
Yeah. Now me
That's
too.
Why one of my okay.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say one of my or most of my early works are kinda League of Legends styled, I'd say. Because I used to play League.
I think I'm losing you
back
a little
in
bit.
The day, and the visuals always really got me.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think that
I'm
losing inspiration.
I lost you a little bit there. Top? Okay, we're having some issues officially. Yeah, I can't hear you. I think there's just like minor issues. Let's see. Can you hear me at least? Yeah, it's very normal to have technical issues. I can hear your keyboard.
Okay, hello?
Hello. I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. We're back.
So yeah, you were saying.
Sorry, where
Legends.
Did you lose me?
No problem.
Oh yeah, sorry. I just really like the visual effects of League of Legends. I think that's why. I mean, that's one of the games that I think inspired me, maybe to try to learn VFX.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's, just very big fan of distinct shapes.
Yeah,
but I do also want to learn like sorry, it's a good.
I wanted to say like it's so distinctive what you do. I don't feel like I've seen it much. Like I'm aware of League of Legends effects, but I feel like you added your own touch, and I feel like you've also been inspired by other things. I don't know. In my opinion, I feel like you're inspired a little bit from anime. Is that correct? Do I read that correctly?
Anime. I don't. Watch a lot of anime, to be honest, but I could see some effects being used in an anime, maybe. One I really like is the Jujutsu Kaisen. I haven't watched recently, but yeah, the effects there are great. That's completely different though, like VFX for a show or like a movie. I don't think I can do that, like drawing everything frame by frame.
Oh no, I get that part, but I feel like the way you show, like especially the Avatar one with the fire, I felt like that one was very like spot on with the effects. I have so many questions about that one effect because it's like it's so beautiful. How long did it take you to do that one?
I'd say it took around a month. But that's on top of like everything else that I do, like a day job or editing videos. It was pretty fun. I just wanted to challenge myself, I think, because at the time I was watching like Avatar Korra. That I usually have something on the or if you have something to watch when I want to do like some exercise.
Cool.
You know, that I get really bored these.
Yeah.
So yeah, that kind of inspired me, and it was nice because each effect I think focused on a specific part of VFX. Like for the earth part, that kind of challenged me to make my own 3D meshes, like for the rocks.
Yeah,
and then the fire one and the lightning, most of them are flip books, like sprite sheets kind of. And then air is solars, and then water is very, I don't know, like I think the flow,
yeah,
that's more of the timing part. So yeah, I think I also chose that because I wanted to like train every aspect that I can in one piece.
Mm. But that's so interesting because like visual effects is so, it's so it's such a huge term. Like there's so much in it to learn. One cannot just be a visual effect artist without knowing so many things at the same time. So when you started a year and a half ago, how difficult was it to, or how frustrating was it that you see a cool effect that you want to replicate, but you were lacking the knowledge on how to make it?
I don't think I felt that much frustration, but only because I was going on Pinterest, but I didn't see much effects that I wanted to replicate.
Okay.
I just wanted to be inspired, and then like I start with the basics of shaders, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I have a video on my YouTube, or I have two videos breaking down shaders for VFX.
Yeah.
And I honestly, if you learn that, you can replicate most VFX. Like, apart, of course, from the very complex special ones, because everything from my avatar VFX, all the techniques there I used are from the shader techniques that I explained in my first two, I'd say, official VFX videos.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just really fun studying and seeing how you can push the limit.
And when you say studying, how did your study look like? So, for example, if you have been inspired by an effect, what did you, or which resources did you use to get the knowledge from?
There was when I started, I had like a senior a VFX artist, and he showed me the ropes,
mm-hmm.
and like the fundamentals, and I think that really helped ease me into creating VFX, because mm-hmm. with the right mixing of these techniques, you mm-hmm. can do a lot, I think. So it's just a lot of experimentation.
Mm-hmm. How much is of the effects do you think is shaders, and how much of the effects is particles?
It's interesting. From my experience, I think I've dealt with particle systems more than I have shaders. Because when you have a shader, usually you make it so that you can reuse it in multiple effects,
yes,
or multiple materials.
Yeah. Yeah.
So playing around with the movement and the animation of the particles through the particle system, I think I deal with a lot more.
You know,
actually, for
go ahead.
Sorry. This is like the last part of the sentence. For my personal playground, like for when I make just random VFX, I usually have a master shader that includes all of the shader features that I could ever want. So whenever I make a new material, I just add the master shader and then toggle on and off which functions I need, so I can iterate really quickly.
Mm.
So yeah, I think that's why I deal with particle systems more.
You know, I struggle a little bit with particle systems because they are so they can get too custom. You know what I mean? How did you make it easy for yourself to learn them? I just feel like there's a lot to them that one can learn. You know, you can shape each particle system to whatever need you want. How do you get to the level where you could bend it to your own will?
I think it really is just practicing little by little. Because have you used Unity's particle system?
Yes.
It's one of my, no, it's not one of my, it's currently my favorite particle system. Maybe it's because I'm used to it, because I've been using it ever since college. But like, all the modules you can have are presented right in front of you.
Yes.
And you can either collapse and expand them if you're going to need them. And playing with them, or playing around with them one by one, I think really helped me understand what each of them do. And then from there, I understand what I need to do for a certain effect.
But how do you deal then with playing with a tool like the VFX graph, for example, which sometimes you need, because you need the particles to be playing on the graphic card instead of the processor, right?
This is going to be a little awkward, but I haven't actually used the VFX graph ever. I've only ever dealt with the Shuriken particle system.
Okay. But what's the main difference? Can you explain it?
For the VFX graph, I think is more similar to Unreal's Niagara.
Yeah.
Because you add the modules as you need them. And then the values you can customize so much. Because you can either... I wish I knew like a lot more about VFX graph, but the way you control values is much more easier. I'd say it's like you define a curve for your values, and then you can define a min and max range for those values, and then you can define if that curve follows the lifetime, like it said. It's a node-based non-destructive workflow.
Yes,
for VFX.
But is it true?
And, that's the part I really like.
I think I need to look this up. I'm not entirely sure. But if the VFX graph, if it's true that the VFX graph plays the particles on the GPU rather than the CPU, and that then the normal particle system plays it on the CPU. I'm not sure if this was like this in the early versions of Unity and they have changed it now. But I think that is the reason why there's VFX graph. I'm not entirely sure. I'm just going to look it up real quick.
Oh yeah, no worries. But yeah, I have heard that that's like one of the advantages of VFX graph. Or, well, at the time it was only available in HDRP, so maybe that's why they needed the performance boost.
I see.
Anyone in chat can correct me if I'm wrong, by the way.
There's a guy in the or a person in the chat called Q, and they're asking if they can reach to the DM afterwards. That's what they said.
Oh. Sure. Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, cool. So it says it does the simulations running on the GPU. So that is the advantage there. And it enables you to design visual effects from simple common particle behavior to complex simulations. I don't know. I get it, I guess, but
I just haven't hit the point in my career that I've needed to deal with the VFX graph, because I imagine the more AAA studios would be wanting the performance boost for graphics and stuff, but everything I've handled so far has been with Shuriken or the old particle system.
What I found so interesting with the VFX graph, because I've been dabbling a little bit with it the last 2 weeks, is the challenge of trying to replicate certain effects in the visual effects graph. And damn, it's sometimes just frustrating, because like, you could see the person, you know, following a tutorial or whatever, you could see them like clicking one button, and you go back to the visual effect graph, and it's like, how the heck do I make it over lifetime? Oh my god. And you would just spend time over and over, and then you think that you can Google things, right? But then no one is writing about this. Because the people who use the particle system are actually using the old one, the basic one, let's say. I don't know what it's called. The Shuriken, you said?
Yeah, it's called Shuriken.
Yes. But yeah, I wonder where, like, right now I'm doing a lot of research and like resources to get to understand the visual effects graph, because I really like its flexibility with the parameters that you can add.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it is a bit more complex than the Shuriken. I don't know if you ever played
with
it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry?
Have you ever played with it just a little bit?
No. I tried making, because I downloaded the template for HDRP.
Yeah.
Because someone in my emails was asking if I could try make one for HDRP.
Mm.
I haven't replied to them yet, but
so yeah, go ahead.
I tried it a little bit, but I don't know. I guess it's more of a me thing, like a new thing to learn. Yeah, I'm just really happy with Shuriken at the moment.
Yeah, no, I mean, if it works, it works, right? So I wanted to ask you, when did you start your YouTube channel, and have it been like exploding since the Godot thing happened last year?
I think that's like the, what's the word? That's the revival, I think, of my channel.
Okay.
I don't know if you scrolled like way down on my YouTube channel before I did any VFX thing. Okay, but
I'm doing that
before
right
I did
now.
Any VFX, I was doing like, wait, what's our like rule on swearing here on this channel?
You can
no
do
swears.
It. Who gives a fuck?
Okay, I just made a lot of random shit before I did VFX for like a few months.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you watched Tarek. Do you? Like from Valorant or from CSGO, I should say.
CSGO? I think I don't know what do you mean.
Okay, I'll use a different example. Like I had, because the Mario movie trailer just got released at the time.
Yeah.
So I made a reaction trailer.
Yeah.
But it's me just going, oh wow. Wow, that's so cool. Wow. Like for the whole video. It's so stupid.
Ah, you mean this one, right?
It was...
You mean this reaction to Mario.
That
right
one. That one. And those videos were so fun to make, but I mean, I wasn't really looking to blow up at the time. I just really wanted to make videos.
Mm.
But then, the whole Unity runtime fee thing happened last year. And I mean, like, a lot of people got upset with Unity, so I tried Godot.
Yes.
And I think I just jumped in at the right time,
because
the maintainer for the main maintainer for the particles, QB Shea, was working on a lot of things for Godot's GPU particle system, and I got to use it.
Cool.
And yeah, I think. And then I made the tutorials for Godot. Well, it was only featuring Godot, because the videos I made for the shaders, you can translate to any engine.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that I really want to drive to instill into people's minds,
mm-hmm.
that a tutorial isn't, well, at least I try my best to, like, a tutorial isn't specific to one thing or one engine. Like, you can always translate the same concepts to different engines.
Yeah, but that's not... Here's the thing, man. I totally get you, but that's not what people... Mm. People are very package-oriented. They're very title-oriented. Like, these days, people just read the news while reading the titles. They don't even care to go and, like, read what is inside. Maybe some people do, but, like, it is not in the... It's not... how to say? It's one of those unspoken rules, unwritten rules... that no one talks about it because it's quote unquote obvious, but it I feel like it goes through the cracks, you know what I mean? Because like for you it's obvious, mm-hmm. or for me and you it's obvious that the rules can be applied on Godot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But every minute or every upload you do, the first comment is like, I'm waiting for the Godot tutorial. Why?
That was the comment. It was like the top comment of one of my videos.
Yes.
I didn't reply to it. But I mean, I don't really expect the majority to understand. Like, not in a condescending way, even. Mm. Like, Some of them are new, or but maybe most of them are new.
Mm.
So they'd want to learn, and I think that's a good way. Define the engine that you're comfortable with, and then you learn the concepts there. Then once they realize that when they move to another engine, like, oh, this is similar to X engine's thing. So
yeah, but
I mean, hopefully, like over time, yeah.
I feel like this type of content is missing. I feel that here's the thing: the only person I saw doing a video about that was Gabriel Aguar, and even that video, that video was like how to do any effect in Unreal, Godot, and Unity. I think that is the closest a person actually got to the idea of explaining on YouTube, at least the closest that I found. But I feel like it's still missing that. One person makes a content or a video where they're like, okay, let's talk about the obvious. If you learn multiply, let's take multiply as a concept. If you learn that in Unity, let me show you how you can apply the same effect in Unreal. And you take like a simple effect, like a texture movement, maybe with time and cosine and sine, whatever it is, like texture coordination and like something simple. And you just do it simultaneously in the three engines, and then go to do another example, right? And so basically by the end of the video, the message would be like, well, now we've seen 4 to 5 examples that can be applied on all engines. The idea is the same. It's like Photoshop, Krita, Illustrator. Does not matter. It's the same program. Maybe there's a bit of minor stuff that are interchangeable within those softwares. I feel like we're missing that guide into like someone and like someone just telling us how it is kosher to do that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're saying it, like someone should actually just like it's very on the nose.
Yeah.
Like that video concept.
Yes.
I don't know what I'm not a huge fan of that idea, I guess. Maybe, but yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah. I feel like there is potential, you know, in the idea. The execution can vary. Like that's how my first idea about it got formed. Like just now while talking to you, because like I've been in that frustrating phase of my learning, where I would be like, oh, that's such a cool effect, but it's in Unity, though. I've been there. Like, I admit it. And I was missing that one. What I was actually missing is me getting my ass up and trying it in different engines, regardless, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I was missing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I didn't feel... And this is the lazy me, maybe, but I didn't feel like it was kosher or if it was doable, maybe because of lack of knowledge or lack of practice, you know?
Yeah, maybe it's not like being talked about enough.
Yes, you know? Exactly. It's not the common, it's like the unwritten rule or the unspoken of rule of like, maybe it's obvious to the person who's making the content, but from the perspective of the person who's consuming the content is like, well, that person didn't talk about it, so it must be how I feel about it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Mm.
Actually, it's kind of a, I guess, a sneak peek more than a spoiler. I do have a video planned talking about translating VFX.
Okay.
So this little segment gave me some stuff to think about.
Cool.
For that video.
You can take whatever you want from this talk if you want to put it in that video. But yeah, it's cool, man. I really feel like we need that one type of like video that tells the beginners at least that it's not as different as you might think. And now I know the answer. Like I know that right now. But like before, I would be very, very afraid to start with Godot from zero and like start with the effects immediately, you know?
Oh, but what made it click for you?
Well,
then
so here's the thing. 3 months ago, I got laid off, like a lot of people.
I'm sorry.
No, don't worry. It's not lack of myself. It's lack of industry structure. Or management, exactly. So I was like frustrated and angry, and so I started a learning series on Twitch. I called it Let's Learn, and I was like, I have to learn anyway. Why don't I just stream it? Because the content of or just the ability of commentary helps me learning, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I've done that, and I was like, my best case scenario is that someone watched and learned with me. My worst case scenario is that I learned. They are basically the same. And yeah, I started...
That's still a win.
Yes, exactly. So my worst case and my best case are actually my best case. And this was like, it clicked for me, and I started with it. And I started with learning visual effects for Unity. I was following Gabriel's tutorials, actually one of his courses that are available on Udemy. And I was like, come on, let's learn together. Let's learn visual effects in Unity. And I started, and I was like, okay, this makes sense. And I've dabbled with it a little bit before I started this series. And now I was able to create something, an effect that was actually like impressive, you know? And I also worked with the Unreal in the shaders. And in the particle system there, and I was able to copy out, like I was able to guess a lot of things because of me working in Unity. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just taking that that leap to experiment with the new engine.
Yes. Maybe? Or just like do the things, you know, go ahead, you know, put your sleeves up, you know, and go ahead and fix that thing. Don't just complain that the wall is broken. At one point, you have to like roll your sleeves and start fixing the wall, basically. And I feel like a lot of people need that thing, but at the same time, they are passively watching. A lot of people don't have the time, so they're passively watching. So your content, for example, is a huge inspiration for some people. And even if you, I feel like, but that's not pressure on you, but like I feel like if people like you actually get to say, hey guys, it's actually doable. Here's the same effect in Godot, the same effect in Unreal, same effect in Unity. It's doable, guys. Come on. Here's an assignment to you. Try to copy this tutorial that I made in Godot now in Unity. Something like that, you know? Something that encourages people.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Although I will say I had a tweet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like thinking about it too much, but I did make the same effect across all three engines, and I had people guess which engine or which effect was made in which engine.
Cool.
And people, like, all of the answers were so mixed, and I think that's part of the point I was trying to make. Like, you can make all of this like in all the engines if you have like the concept down.
I completely agree with you. I don't think I used to think in engines. I used to see the word in logos and you know, in that term. But the more I learn in Unity, the better I get in Godot. Or it really does not matter. Yeah. Like what you're learning has nothing to do with the logo. It has nothing to do with the company. It really has something to do with you understanding what the heck you're learning. Like if you're learning Unity, you're actually learning how to work with an engine, or you're learning how to develop a game in Unity, which would help you to develop a game in like period. That's it. You can just develop a game. Like those people who have learned Unity and felt useless a year ago, they weren't useless as much because they were able to pick up Godot on the go, right? Or any other.
They already know.
Yeah.
Actually, the thing I liked about Godot during that time is I think they actually made guides for people who were migrating from Unity. Like, they explained the concepts in Godot and how they were similar to their counterpart in Unity. So I think that's really awesome.
So have you ever played with Unreal VFX before?
Yeah, I tried. My first one was... the incinerator beam. It was the big red beam with the soldier. I don't know if it's gonna pop up anytime soon in the reel.
Wait, yeah, you did it with the UE5. I have it here now just to show it. This one. It's so cool. You know, what's
really
funny? Right now I have like a lag because I'm streaming and we're like recording and everything. And it made the video into like 12 frames per second. And it looked sick. It looked really good. It looked like those Spider-Man effects.
Thank you. That was my first Unreal effect. And I did have a bit of friction when I started there. But then once I got the modules, like you add them as you need them. And I even like how they handle values, because you can have different settings for each value. Like, oh, this is a constant. Oh, this is a lerp. Or this is a range, a random range min-max.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think this is a very specific thing that... The part I like about Unreal's VFX is you can put HDR colors into the parameters. Whereas Unity, you're kind of limited to just like the 0 to 255 values of RGB.
Yeah.
At least for Shuriken. Well, it might be different for VFX graph. Not sure, but yeah, that was one of my gripes with Unity.
It's so interesting that you could do so much. And I think Unity did this whole VFX graph thing so that users from Unreal will be able to go to switch engines and be able to create effects on the go, basically. Maybe one way to learn VFX graph, if there's not so much content about it out there, is to actually learn Niagara system.
Maybe.
But don't take my words, I'm not an expert.
Oh yeah, same here.
No, you are. Come on, man. So
no,
now
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh.
You were saying?
No, I was just gonna say that I don't know. I see a lot of, every time I look at my Twitter feed, it's always like, dang, why didn't I make that effect? Because they're all so good. I don't know. But yeah, that's,
We have a person in the comments saying that these vines are very impressive, and if they are a mesh or placed like particles.
Oh, I guess, yeah, they're a mesh, but they're spawned by a particle system.
Mm.
And then I control the... So it's kind of like reverse erosion to make it appear across its lifetime.
And he asked if this is made in Niagara or in Unity. But I think you already mentioned it's made in Unity, right?
No, it's made in Godot, actually.
Godot. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. That's your answer. Okay, so I want to start finally with the podcast questions. And my first question is, that I ask every guest, is like, before your art got so established and you've become this, like, let's say a known internet figure, what went into learning? Walk us through like the blood, sweat, and tears of your journey and the frustration and everything from the beginning.
Oh.
Yeah.
So when I started VFX, I tried to really get comfy with the particle system first. So no fancy shaders, no meshes, no textures. It's just the default Unity sprite for particles. So it's like the soft glow or the soft edge circle.
Mm-hmm.
And my mentor at the time made us do sparks. So just simple sparks flying from a thing that causes sparks.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So once you have the particle system down, it was very structured, I'd say, that time when I was learning VFX. They had us make a portal then, and the focus for the portal was shaders and textures, because there's not much movement going on from a portal.
Mm-hmm.
As compared to like something like a projectile or a beam or a shield even.
Mm.
And I think what it all boiled down to was learning these components one at a time. And then after that, once I had a good base for each of them, which are particle system, shaders, textures, and meshes, I just kind of reflect and then see which part I'm the worst at. Oh. And then try to hone that then. Because at the time, I relied heavily on free texture packs for VFX. Because there's some free ones around. I can link one somewhere. I forget the name. I think it's VF Extra by Neil. Yeah. So once I got comfy with the other parts, like the particle systems and shaders, I had to do something that with textures. But there are two ways to do textures, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can do it procedurally, or not procedurally.
Yeah.
I'll use procedurally as the term, and then you can do hand-painted ones.
Yes.
I started with the procedural ones because it's much, much closer to how you would code. Like, it's very step-by-step. Like, oh, generate a noise, you distort that, and then you blur that a little bit.
Did you do that in Engine, or did you use a tool for that?
Oh, I used Substance Designer.
SD, okay.
And I know the stance on Adobe is like, boo, like, no Adobe, but I got the one from Steam, which was like a one-time purchase.
Lucky you.
I think, yeah. Or it might still be up now, but all I know is if it were a subscription, I would not be using that.
There's Material Maker now. It's actually a Godot-based program.
Yeah,
it's actually free to use, and it's making good results so far.
I'm sure you've seen like Celestial Maze on Twitter, maybe, or even in Blue Sky. Are they not familiar?
Can you write that down for me? I'm really bad with spelling. And we have a chat inside the Discord, inside of where you are right now. You should be able to see a chat icon on the top right. And if you expand that, you'll be able to write inside of the chat.
All right.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so
much. Celestial Maze. So when I first started seeing his posts on my Twitter feed, most of his content was breakdowns of how he does like various effects. And he uses Material Maker a lot. And that's put Material Maker on my radar.
I'm actually showing some of his videos right now as we're speaking. So keep going.
Yeah. He uses a lot of software. I think he could be like part of this podcast, to be honest.
I would love to have
like
him.
A real generalist.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah, he uses Blender, Material Maker, and then he's pretty good. I have some of his works bookmarked for reference to study.
It's very smart.
So I use Substance Designer.
Yeah,
Material Maker. I tried a little bit, but I think. I mean, I already have Substance Designer, and I can just keep using that.
And yeah, like, I agree with you. You work with what you have, absolutely. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And then once I got comfy, it took a long time for me to get comfy with even procedural textures. Because I think at some point in my VFX life, texturing was my weakest part. Like, I felt really bad. But now I have to reflect again, see what I need to work on. I think it's colors. I don't think my colors are very interesting.
Okay.
And yeah. After I moved on from procedural, I went into Krita and I started making flipbooks and hand-painted textures. And that's the, like I mentioned a while ago, the fire VFX from the Avatar is the first time I kind of showcase hand-painted textures and flipbooks. And I'm very proud of them.
Wow, so those are hand-painted. Here I thought they were shaders.
Yeah, for the fire. Oh, I mean, I use shaders on the hand-painted textures. So Yeah, it's kind of a mix.
Can I ask you a very weird question? Can you share your screen with us today and just show us the effect in slow motion? Maybe walk us a little bit through what you hand painted? Just like a glimpse, basically. A glimpse of how...
Oh, like the texture?
Yeah, like because I can't wrap my head around how is that hand painted.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Oh, if I share my screen, will it not mess up like the layout for this?
No.
Okay.
Just, I think it will be fine. And I just take your time. I will talk, don't worry.
Okay,
so actually, are you using a virtual camera?
Yes, I'm using OBS's virtual camera.
Then you could switch to a display capture, right?
Yes. Oh, you're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that would be so much... It's actually a better quality.
It'd be easier. I'll get the textures up first.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Take your time. But it's like... I really am a huge fan of that fire from that you created. And I was the whole time thinking, like, how did he make such a cool shader? I was thinking, oh, I lack so much knowledge. But then now you tell me that it's actually hand-painted, and that is even more impressive, you know? Especially from a person who didn't, like, you don't have a 2D background, right? You've been, like you mentioned before, you've been working with procedural textures, and you haven't really...
Yes.
Yeah, and that's so interesting that one can learn all of these things.
All right, they're almost ready.
Sure, take your time. It's very interesting, man. Like, have you learned to draw from zero in that case, or were you sketching before?
I learned to draw from zero.
Wow.
I mean, I think the shader or whatever I do with the shaders helps a lot in hiding the imperfections, because they're all moving like so fast that you'd have to go frame by frame.
Yes,
I'm adding.
It's really about like fooling the viewer into thinking like you've made this amazing thing, but it's because it's moving so fast, like you said.
Do you see my screen now?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, which one is it? This is a flipbook for the fire.
Yeah.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just a flipbook. The green and the yellow parts are the alpha.
Mm-hmm.
And then the red or the yellow, the purely yellow parts, because that's where the green and red channels mix.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I control the colors, because I use a gradient or lookup texture to add the colors for this.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever is the zero value, which is just green, it takes the leftmost of the gradient, and then the yellow takes the rightmost of the gradient.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is more for the big cone VFX.
Yeah.
And this is just... I'll open Blender even.
This is basically like a super motion blur applied on like a simple shade.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot to mention that. So I hand-painted the texture as a base.
Yeah.
I think I have it here. Everyone's going to see my my files. This one. This is the base texture.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like a lasso
tool. And then
tool.
I rotate it and apply it motion blur. Yes.
But
you know, I absolutely love the lasso tool draw.
Yeah.
Cause I used to only use brushes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it's always so round.
Yeah.
Whenever I use the brush.
And the brush has like its own magic. What I do is I put it on a layer with a mask. Right, and then I keep switching between white and black to create those sharp edges, but a lasso tool can give you that shortcut immediately if you know your shapes. But what I like to work with the brush sometimes is because I get things that I don't expect to happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that is always very interesting. Ah, so this is the thing that
and this is the cone
yeah It's very interesting to see the meshes always. It's very interesting because the VFX meshes are always like simple, but then you see the effect in Unity or whatever, you know, and you're like, wow, this is so complex. But then you go to the Blender file and it's like cone.
It's just this. And then the texture just pans from left to right. And
exactly.
I mean, you know, you can have like vertex displacement and even more effects like erosion. But yeah, everything boils down to just the fundamentals. Wow. And I hope like someday I could, I mean, I'm repeating myself, but I hope I can instill that in my viewers as I grow my audience.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. I mean, I know this is like a whole video material that you're sharing with us right now, right? I bet you're planning to make a video, right?
I am planning on I'm planning on bringing back breakdowns specifically, because honestly the hardest part for breakdowns for me is the talking portion. Like I have to explain every single detail that I put into this effect. But my new format would require me to not do that. But it kind of expects the viewers to have watched at least the first two videos of my shader tutorials. Because once they learn that,
do you start your videos always everything. Saying that? By the way, do you start every video saying check video one, video two? And I'm basing this video as if you already watched that, or do you just start with like breaking it down?
For my first two breakdowns, both of which were in good though, I think I do mention that because I'm never gonna know which one is the first video they're gonna see.
Mm.
But I think after a few more of those intros, I think they're just gonna block it out or like space it out, and then they reach the tutorial part, which is what they want. So I think there's no harm in adding that intro for me personally.
Mm. It's very interesting, man. So I wanted to go back to the point where you were talking about learning Krita. And just walk us through, like, okay, now you can do textures, right? What was the next step that you started learning?
My next step, I think, if I learned particle systems, I got very comfortable with shaders and textures. The next one would be meshes. Because I only had very basic Blender skills.
Uh-huh.
And then I made VFX that involved a lot of custom meshes, like the water, for instance, in Avatar, like that one big wave that charges into the dummy. Wait, actually, can I show you again?
Absolutely.
Like the mesh.
Always. Thank you for doing that. That's awesome.
Because it's one of the more fun meshes that I have made. Like, look at this.
Wow. It looks like cloth. And then it's cool.
It's kind of like going into itself. And the UVs are just, okay, this is a lot of vertices, I'll admit.
Yeah.
But this is for portfolio piece.
Doesn't even but matter.
The UV, yeah. At some point, because I mean, you're free to do this at the start of a project, I'd say.
Mm.
But you have to be mindful of the budget of like the file budget that your game has.
Yes.
But I think it's always easier to scale down than to scale up. So if you have something like this, you can always just I think the term is decimate or merge like very close ones. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But my question was if it matters that it is quads, you know. Or the UV had to be inside of the UV. Does that matter? Because then you could, like you said, use a tool to remesh and basically just put all those polys way down, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for the number of vertices in the model I just showed, I'll have it up again. My justification for this is I'm the shader is water, so it's going to be like very turbulent in terms of like its surface. Mm. And the vertex displacement relies on the vertices. So if mm-hmm. if I only had, let's say, a plane,
yeah,
I don't, you don't, you're not going to have much vertices to work with. It's going to look very jagged, very rigid.
Mm-hmm. But you can still place a texture inside of it perfectly with just four polygons.
Yes.
Without it being
yes,
text.
But
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but again, that because to break up the shape a little bit, I kind of extrude the vertex from its normals,
mm-hmm.
something like this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had that with the where's proportional editing? So if you had that with this, if you move one, you're gonna notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then in, if you move this, for example, it's just that part, and you can have a lot more detail mm. When you displace them.
Ah, when you displace them using a vertex shader, I get it. Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
I get it. I get it. I think I missed that part. But yeah, okay. So you've started working on your meshes, right? You started doing maybe a more complex mesh than you used to before to expand your knowledge on Blender. What was next to get you to the next level?
I think that's my current stage right now. I think I need to work on my colors
because
mm. most of my VFX use like mainly one color.
Interesting. Like and which color think, do you use always?
Oh no, I mean like in a singular effect.
Mm.
Like there's always just one main color.
Ah.
You never see like purple plus yellow or. Mm. Or orange plus blue
variation.
So that's something I want to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
In my latest VFX, the one that's the one with the blood spikes,
mm-hmm.
As I want to call them.
Yeah,
I think that's the best one I have so far because it mixes like a very dark red with a very pale pink.
Mm.
But you know, it's a relatively small effect compared to what I usually do. So I have to make more of those.
I feel like we're so opposite. Like, I lack all the knowledge to create various effects. You know what I mean? Like, you have so many workflows. It's like, if it was a language, I feel like you're native. You know, you're able to create different sentences. But maybe you lacked in the colors. Well, like, my background is purely color-based and purely 2D painting mm-hmm. and textures. And so it takes me back to the point where I was mentioning languages, and I feel like you're native in it because like each effect has its own unique solution to create technically, you know. And I wanted mm-hmm. to ask you, how did you get so comfortable in that? Did you like download assets and look at them individually, how they were made? What helped you the most?
I do think it all comes back to my degree, in computer science, because
yeah.
it helped me approach problems in such a way that it helps me, I think, understand it easier. Because when you're working with shaders or working with meshes, I think the concept of 0 to 1 becomes very important, because you're always playing around with those values. And I think that really helped with learning. Because I did look at a few tutorials from Gabriel
mm-hmm.
Prod, and then from one MAFX. Because one MAFX, I think, has more the texture part than Gabriel focuses on, like the particle systems and stuff. Right? So after I got to understand what they were doing, mm-hmm. I just tried applying it in different ways.
Yeah, I think that's the key. Backward, like you
yeah.
started doing backward engineering almost, right?
Mm.
That's cool, man.
But yeah.
So, like, my question was that I wanted to ask you after that one is like, how do you deal with the research? But you already I think, answered a part of that already, right?
Yeah, but after, because I hate to keep, I hate to sound like a broken record. After you learn the fundamentals, really, it's just a matter of going wild with the fundamentals. Mm. And that's how you make, or that's how you learn, like, new VFX. Because the water mesh I showed you, you could flatten that into a quad. And I think it would help visualize better what the effect is doing.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
No, don't worry. I think I'm getting your point, definitely. But I also seen you animate, right? You've also dabbled a little bit with animation, especially with your latest video when you were explaining the lore of visual effects, which I really loved that video. I felt like we need more of that content. So you worked on animation as well. What helped you there to understand the basics?
Animation. Mm. Sorry, can you refresh me, like which specific part?
Well, are those fires in the beginning of the video, are those animated or are those driven by
that's a flip book.
It's a flip book, exactly.
That's
okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. So for the flip book, I think that one's a special one. I downloaded references and then put them on PureRef. And then PureRef now has a GIF, like you can go frame by frame with GIFs. And then I just started analyzing it, and then I started seeing the motions and like the shapes they're using and how they're eroding it. And then I just tried. I tried making a similar shape to one of the references. Mm-hmm. And once I got that down, I tried making my own shape with my own motion to see if I can apply the same principles.
Yeah. Which program do you use?
Albeit it's still rough, yeah.
Which program do you use for frame by frame, sorry, yeah.
Oh, it's PureRef.
Oh, do you draw in PureRef and you animate in PureRef, or?
Oh, no, I just have PureRef as a reference on the PC, and then I have my tablet
like a Procreate? Like
below the screen.
Okay.
No, I don't have an iPad.
I have a graphic tablet.
Samsung. yes.
All good. And so you use Photoshop to animate, or Adobe Animate? Which program do you use for your choice?
I use Krita for animating.
Krita as well. Wow.
Yeah. I tried Clip Studio for a little bit, and then my free trial expired. So I was like, oh, let's go with Krita then. But also the thing I like about Krita is, I mean, one, it's free, but two, you have the pattern mode. And I think it's really helpful with making hand-painted textures, especially ones that need to tile. That's really what I really like about Krita.
Just the other day, I noticed that the same thing also exists in Photoshop.
Pattern mode? Oh, yeah, for new versions, I think.
It's actually like since 2018, I think they implemented it. Because
2018,
I
see.
I was like, wow, Krita is so much better, but then I realized that they also implemented it. I think it's just less, Krita is like one click of a button, you also have a hotkey for it. And in Photoshop, you know, you have to click a couple of things, make a pattern, and et cetera, et cetera. You have to do a couple of things. So yeah, listen, Top, we've been talking now for an hour. I don't want to keep you up late. So I want to ask you about how flexible you are still with the time, and if there's certain topics you want to talk about, because I'm running out of questions.
I'm pretty flexible, I'd say. But that's...
Is there anything would you like to talk about regarding your channel, maybe? Your something that you're dabbling with lately?
Regarding my channel, I will say,
No problem.
I will say I have like, I'd say around 20 video ideas right now.
Wow.
That I really want to make, because I don't know, that there was a time last year I was felt like really, really tired after I think the breakdown for the Night Elf site.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's because I mean, at the time, I didn't really want to do the breakdowns, or like after the first one, it was really tiring. But I promised the second breakdown, so I forced myself to do it. Mm-hmm. Then I got really tired. But now I'm making videos that I really, really like, because one, they're more abstract concepts, right?
Yes.
And it's much easier to talk about, because I don't have to explain any specific systems or like windows of an engine to get the idea across to the viewer. So yeah, that I've like a lot of videos. I hope to make them all soon.
Okay, so what you're planning to do is something more abstract, like you've done in your latest video, right? With the lore of visual effects, or the one with the environment of visual, or the environment impact of visual effect, right?
Yes.
And you have like 20 ideas that are similar to that one.
Yes.
Cool.
I mean, I'm gonna have to reevaluate if some of them work, some of them don't. Like if I can make a whole video out of them. But yeah, I'm really excited for them. Another sneak peek of my next video. It's about extra space ordinary VFX, and I think I'll leave it at that.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it.
Wow, I'm really excited too.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned in your biography that you are game dev as well, correct?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? I think that's a part people don't know about you as much.
Oh yeah. So I started as a programmer, right, 2018, and this is like some deep lore, I think. But in my previous job, we had a game jam. And they said, the organizer said it was not competitive. So, okay, like, I'll join this game jam. I'll learn a lot. I'll have fun. And then by the end of the game jam, it was suddenly like, oh, first place is blank. Second place is blank. Third is that. I thought it was not competitive. So our team didn't win first place. Not that we were aiming for any place to start with.
Yeah.
But then it started. Okay. Well, all of this is like leading to our first game. Because that's our submission for that game jam was what Loveburb was like before it became fully polished. And I really got lucky with my team, because everyone was so dedicated in making a game.
And so you started creating a game, is that correct?
Yeah, and we finished the game. It's called Loveburb.
Loveburb.
Yes.
Cool.
It's on Steam for free.
Okay.
And we wanted to keep it free because it was our first game, and this is one of a personal reason. I didn't want to disappoint people. Like if you disappoint them and if you disappoint someone and take their money, I think that's like a double whammy.
But I mean, businesses are doing that exactly the same what you just described. They're doing it on a big scale.
That's fair.
And they're making tons of money. So I don't know what you're talking about, honestly.
But yeah, my first boss like asked me the same question, because he was like, "Oh, why did you make your first game free?" And then because it's gonna be harder. Like in the case that it does like really, really well, it would suck if the price came from free to suddenly like $5.
Oh, that would suck.
As opposed to that would suck.
That would suck.
I was like, I don't know. We just wanted to make a game.
Did it do well?
But I guess
that
gave us a lot to think about.
Did people download the game?
For my latest,
it was.
I'd say it was well received, because we saw a lot of Twitch streamers play the game and they were having fun.
Yeah.
But apart from that, there were some kinks with the rhythm system, which were my fault. But last time I checked, it was at a very positive rating on Steam. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm not trying to like keep tabs on the numbers, because that's gonna drive me crazy. And I already have Twitter as it is.
Yeah, gotcha. No worries. Cool. Have you ever thought about teaching or being a mentor generally?
Oh, you know, that's always my answer for like the answer for if you didn't have to worry about money, like what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
My answer would be teaching.
Okay.
Like teaching game dev or VFX. I think that's partially why I love making these videos, because it's my way of teaching like anyone who wants to access it.
True.
And then I'm not sure how I do like in a live setting, but sometimes when I can't sleep, I kind of imagine myself in a classroom, me teaching. And then it's a bit silly, but like I go through in my head the concepts of what I would teach and how I would teach it. Maybe as a practice for when the time comes, either as a live or actually, you know, that apart from teaching, I actually want to do like a live talk. I think that would be fun,
like
for a conference or something. Uh-huh. Yeah, but I'm only gonna do that if I believe that the thing I'm sharing is very special. Like, yeah, because if you're gonna hear about the topic that I'm gonna be talking about, like for free, anywhere else, like on the internet, I don't know. I feel like personally, it wouldn't be worth or good. But you know, maybe that's not the right mindset. But that's how I feel.
I mean,
now,
if that's how you feel and you have like the need to express it, that's art. It doesn't matter how other people feel, honestly. And I feel like you're doing that right now with your YouTube channel, and I feel like, wow, this is, you could obviously see that you're having fun with it, like the VFX lore video. Wow, I was like, this is very informative. I kind of get it now. And what I liked about it is that you were talking again about like unwritten rules of VFX. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You were explaining it like for a beginner person like me. I always wonder like why is magic always like that, right? And you were explaining it. And I was like, wow. So there's a whole story behind it.
Yeah, and the fun part is it's completely up to the team or you like to establish the lore for your game.
That's true.
I think
too,
that's
yeah.
why. I think that's why story plays such a big role in games. Not just for VFX. I think because I played Prince of Persia, the latest one on PS5, and I really liked the visuals. But what kept me going was the story. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I really like the story.
Interesting. I think I didn't get the story, and I was like, wow, this game is a bit too much for me. I don't know, man. Like, there's
the Prince of Persia, the platformer?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I can't do this.
I don't know.
There's something about side scrollers that I can't. I don't know. But it was good.
No,
I get the premise.
Maybe it's just maybe it's just not your type of game.
Yeah,
like
maybe.
Metroidvanias.
Yeah,
platformers. And that's completely fair.
Yeah, exactly. It's totally okay if it's not your thing. So back to the question of like, because you mentioned that in an ideal world where you don't have to worry about money, did you mean that no one will pay for you as a mentor, or what did you mean by that?
No, I mean like if I'm well off, like of course I'm doing VFX as a job, like so I can survive. But if I had like so much money I didn't have to worry about the rest of my life, I might go into teaching.
But you're saying that in a way where it's like you're kind of saying at the same time that teaching doesn't make money.
Oh no. I meant that as an hypothetical. It's usually a common like icebreaker question, like from where I am, I think. Like if you didn't have to worry about surviving, like you were just living life, like you were always well fed, you have a roof over your head, and you always had money for everything you need, what would you do?
Okay. But the thing is, like, I am a huge believer that teaching and mentoring is a really good alternative for an income that one can do when they're skilled. Especially technical artists, I feel like they're not doing that as much these days. You know, people, as yourself, for example, you hone a skill, actually two skills or multiple disciplinary, and you're able to work with them and blend them so smoothly. I feel like not a lot of people are showing educational content out there. So I'm really thankful for you for doing that, for, you know, doing those breakdowns and everything. Actually, someone in the chat is saying, I heard Tub is a god at platformer games. Is that true?
I'd say no. But I'd say I'm pretty good. I lean towards the good side of it. Because I finished Celeste, and I think that's one of the hardest platformers out there.
Oh!
Have you tried Celeste?
No, I can't even spell it. How do you spell that?
I'll put it in the chat.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I think I heard about it.
It's a really good game.
Okay. I like hard games, so I might check that out. I really love hard games. So this one, right?
So you must like the FromSoft games then.
Oh yeah, I've played all of them. This one, right?
How do you feel about Elden Ring? Yeah, that one.
Elden Ring is the easiest FromSoft game.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah. I feel like this
high... Which one is your favorite?
Well, the favorite one, I have like an unpopular opinion about that. Dark Souls 2, in my opinion, is the best Souls game. And I will get a lot of hate Dark for Souls that. 2. And the first,
yeah, I heard.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's the worst one. No, that's just what I heard from people.
Really? So it's a common opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But it's an opinion, of course. But what makes Dark Souls 2 like your favorite then?
Dark Souls 2, man, is like the way they did the levels and how they made the replayability of them so uniquely, because you have the New Game Plus, for example, and you can do a New Game Plus for each level. You don't have to restart the whole game. So you have like an item you can collect, and you can spend that item on that level only, right? So you have like New Game Plus in one level that you have your tricks in to do farming or to get new items, and I really, really, really love that. And every time you have a plus, there's always like a something happening. There's like a boss that you haven't faced before. I feel like they made the replayability of that game in a really, really good way.
I see. I never knew about that mechanic for Dark Souls 2. Because Elden Ring's the only FromSoft game that I've played.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
I really enjoyed it. And after I beat Malenia, I think that was the 50th try, I was done with it. I didn't want to play it anymore.
But that was the hardest boss.
I didn't play the DLC, but I had fun. Yeah, exactly.
But like everything comes after that is actually just fun and games.
Yeah, Malenia was the last boss that I fought. Like, I fought everyone else before going to Malenia.
What was your build?
I think it's a good end. It was just strength.
Oh. A gym bro.
And I didn't use... I don't know, because I think it's an influence, semi-influence from my friend.
Yeah.
But I never used any of the spells or the mimics.
Mm.
The summons, sorry. I don't know.
The mimic is very strong. I went by Elden Ring the same way I go by my career, and I went for a generalist build, and it was painful as fuck.
Hey.
I was like, all right, so I have 1 point. I'll put it in what is it called? Strength. And the other point in strength, the other point in mage, and so on.
I see. This is a very balanced build.
Yeah,
I don't know
it's bad.
How those go usually.
So I had to make it a bit unbalanced because I couldn't scale anything. It's very bad and painful to play. But you know, my character right now can do everything.
Hey, that's good. It's good to have a lot of options.
Yeah, I think like you, I don't know, man, like it's just me. I don't like to be put in a box. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Mm. How so?
Like I don't like to be labeled. I don't like that. I don't like to be under one label that means one thing and one stereotype. Like I don't like to be called a nerd. Even though what I do is nerdy, I don't like that. I don't like when someone says, "Ah, oh, that's our 2D artist." You know, I'm not just a 2D artist. I can do 3D. Don't limit me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's fair. I think that's fair. Mm. Yeah, if you take pride in all of the skills that you learn.
True.
But for me personally, I don't know. I think I'm pretty happy with VFX artist at the moment, at least for my YouTube channel, because now people know what to expect. But in the case that, because I still do game dev outside of my YouTube stuff, if I ever transition to game dev, and the people who followed me for the VFX artist part like unsubscribe, I think that's fine. Because that part of my journey is over now. It's time for new people to come into the channel.
Do you feel that way now, that you would like to change your content and do more devlogs and things like that? Do you feel this way?
Not at the moment, but I do see myself probably making that type of content when I don't know when this will happen, but when I get more energy and time to make a full game rather than just pieces of VFX. Because that's been one of my concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Very loosely used, like I'm making all this VFX for myself, but it's never in a game. Like that kind of makes me sad.
So, oh, I see what
maybe
you
the,
mean.
Maybe the next step would be making a game and then adding VFX to that game. So at least I'm still working on VFX.
I think a lot of people would be interested in that, honestly, because like if you already build a base where people are learning visual effects, I think a lot of them, like including myself, would be interested in like how now to do this practically. You know what I mean? And I think you have the advantage that you already know how to do game dev. You have the advantage to go through that realm, I think, more than any other person. I just feel like that part of you is not explained or not yet explained, or you kept away from the identity of the channel. But every time, I think you could bring that and highlight it. It's free world, man.
Yeah. Maybe when I'm ready. Because recently, I mean, I've been working on VFX. I've been working more on VFX that I think I kind of need to hone my programming skills again. Because if I'm going to teach something, I want to make sure that I know every single part of it.
Yeah.
So I can explain it properly.
Yeah.
To the viewers.
Yeah. I agree with you 1,000%. And I feel like that's why teaching is the best way to learn. But at the same time, I think perfection comes in the way. And that's...
Yeah, that's true.
That's unfortunate. And I've learned that the hard way because, you know, I've been doing those streams and I would be literally going on stream in front of everybody being like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And there is something to that, I can tell you. There's something to... There's a lot of power to saying, I don't know. Look it up. I don't know fully about that topic. So if that encourages you, I'll be so happy to see those videos in the future if you're ever going to decide to make them.
Maybe, yeah. I'll give it a thought.
All right, listen, man. It's been great having you here. Is there anything else you would like to talk about?
I think I'm good, yeah.
Cool. All right. Thanks for joining. And for everybody who's listening, you could check this episode once it's done editing, maybe tomorrow. maybe not tomorrow, I'm actually busy, but maybe next week. Top knows how it is with editing and everything. Things take time, you consumers. Absolutely, Q. You're welcome. Everybody, have a great day, have a great evening. And Top, I would leave the last word with you.
Okay. Thank you. And I've watched the previous two podcasts, and I'm going to follow the trend in saying, I think what you're doing in this podcast is really interesting. I think it's great. And thanks for having me. It was really fun being here.
That's awesome, man. All right, everybody. Have a great evening. Bye.